Amen, folks. Amen. That's what love can do. I thought I had to open that up with the song, because I found that was kind of fitting for the message. But if you can hear me, you can type an amen to let me know that this thing is working okay as always. But I was just trying to figure out and trying to find a song. You know, I said, you know, try to start the tempo off, if you want to call that. And I found this one, What Love Can Do, because it's kind of going to be kind of the topic we're going to be talking about tonight is love. So I welcome you. It's Friday night. Everyone knows who attends this on Friday nights what it is. It's time for us to come together and fellowship and just give glory and honor and praise to God, because again, God allows us to come together for this event. I'm glad that you took time to be here. It's wonderful. I want to welcome Lisa, in case if y'all don't know where her chat name was in the chat room, is actually Skies, but she's now joining us because she got Zoom on her computer, and I'm glad that she's here. It's so good to see another fellow person or fellow woman that was in our chat, and I'm hoping, you know, like we was talking about last week, more was trying to start coming. I'm going to try to reach out to them on email when I get back from vacation, and hopefully maybe they'll start joining, but again, we can't force them to come. It's up to them. Amen. So, I'm kind of thinking, you know, really, I'm thinking. But, you know, I'm just thinking about, you know, starting off with this question. What is love? L-O-V-E. What is love? And this most likely has been the most asked question many of us have heard. And many have sought out the answer to this question. See, for those of you who are here now, would you answer this question if it were asked of you by someone that you may be talking to? If someone asked you, okay, what is love? You know, I kind of understand some meaning behind the love and what scriptures are telling us. And you know, I never gave it much deep thought until I started writing this message. And then I started thinking about, if someone was to ask you personally, what is love? And I was thinking, you know, maybe like you, what would your answer be? We see one that answered God. Another one saying love is laying down your life for the other. See, that's good answers. And that's why I was thinking to myself, how would you respond? And really, what would you say? Now, here's the real mind-boggling thought that I come up with. Do you even know the real meaning of love? Do you really know the real meaning of love? And I did it to myself, you know, when I start typing these things. And that's why I sit at the screen and I ponder and I look at the question like, I never thought about it that way. I came up with answers like y'all did. And I had to sit there. And I sat there sipping on my coffee, looking at that last line. I had to get some more coffee, still looked at the last line, walked back and forth in my trailer, looked at the last line. Actually, you know, I sat around 15 minutes thinking about that line. What is the real meaning of love? And that's why I said, before we can even answer these questions posed to us, and even myself had to think about it, we first must fully understand the definition of what love really is. Now, first of all, let's see what the world out there says that love is. what the world is saying, that love really has been a favorite topic of many philosophers, poets, writers, scientists for generations, and different people and groups have often fought about its definition. You go dig into all this. You go to all these I just described, and you'll find they will give you many definitions of love. And while most people would generally agree that love implies strong feelings of affection, and there are many disagreements about its precise meaning, and one person's "I love you" might even mean something quite different than another's. You think about that. See, when someone says "I love you," quite frankly, it may have a different meaning than what you think it has. You see, the world says, again, love is a complex set of emotions, behaviors, and beliefs associated with strong feelings of affections, protectiveness, warmth, and respect for another person. Love can also be used to apply to non-human animals, to principles, and to religious beliefs. For example, a person might say he or she love his or her dog, or loves freedom, or "I love barbecue ribs," or some might say "I love fried chicken or pizza," "I love my car," "I love the way I look. Man, I'm a handsome guy." If y'all had a camera on, y'all can see that. Some might even say he or she loves God. See, folks, this is a world's view on love. Now, I gave y'all that side of the tracks of what love says. Let's see what the Bible says on love. And I will keep the list short because, be honest, if you really break it down, the Bible has a lot to say what love really is. But here's the short version of what love is in the Bible. See, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. This is what the Bible says what love is in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 8. And notice when you read it, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And he who does not love does not know God, for God is love." You see what it's saying? It's saying that love is of God, and God is love. In other words, love is a fundamental characteristic of who God is. Everything God does is impelled and influenced by his love. The Bible itself uses several different words for love in the Hebrew and the Greek, interchanging them dependent on content. Some of these words means affectionate love. Others indicate friendship, and still others mean erotic or sexual love. And there is also a distinct word for the type of love that God himself displays. In the Greek, we all should know this. In the Greek, this word is called agape. And it refers to a benevolent and charitable love that seeks the best for the loved one. Or, in other words, if we was talking about it on men's group on Wednesday night, unconditional love with no restrictions. See, the Bible itself, friends, gives many examples of love. The caring provisions of Boaz for Ruth, the deep friendship of David and Jonathan, the poetic and passionate love of Solomon and the Shulamite, their enduring commitment of Hosea to Gomer, the fatherly love of Paul for Timothy and John for the church, and of course, the best of all, the sacrificial, saving love of Christ for the sinners of the world. Agape, the benevolent, selfless love that God shows, is mentioned often in the New Testament, including the love chapter. We should know that one. The love chapter is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The whole chapter is called the love chapter. If you read through it, you see what I'm meaning. See, the love characteristics are listed in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, which we will cover. You know, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I wanted to read these verses right here, which says, and this is what it says there, 1 Corinthians 13, 4, verses 2, 8. And I love it every time I read it, folks. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hope all things, endure all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. And of the greatest gifts of God, of faith, hope, and love, folks, the greatest is love. Verse 13, the greatest gift is love. If we were to study what love really is in God's words, this would be, quite honestly with you, I'll put all y'all to sleep. But if we were to study really what God's words says about love, this would be one of the longest sermons I would have to preach and teach, because to understand his love, quite honestly, it would take us a lifetime journey with him to cover the whole meaning of love according to the Bible. I wish many people or go to the Bible to find out the true meaning of love. And our reading tonight will be John chapter 15, verse 9. One verse. John chapter 15, verse 9. And folks, you can't help it when you read these words. And it says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, oh Lord Jesus, thank you for allowing me to stand here tonight before these kind folks. And Father, I know you're still doing a lot of work within me, and I know you're still teaching me and showing me and helping me understand what love really is, because 15 years ago when I first came to you, I told many people in that church, I don't know what love is. I told many I will never, ever experience love. I've been hurt so badly by so many people. I've been treated badly by many people. I had so much hate, rage, anger. I had problems. I had issues. I was into all sorts of things. Even in my later life, when I got into things so hideous that I can't even dare not describe, I didn't know what love was. I thought to myself, I would never know what love is. I would never experience what love is. My heart was the hardest heart I can think of. I know others out there probably relate to this too. But I was hideous. Again, when I said yes to your son Jesus, I still said I would never know what love is. But am I wrong? I'm learning what love is now. Love does endure. Love does change. And love is still changing. So I ask of you to bless those folks here tonight. Be with them. Touch them. Anoint them. Watch over them. Take care of them. Display that affectionate love to them. And let them know you love them. I know they know it, because your son did it for us on the cross, but let them know you love them. Thank you for loving me for what I am. Thank you for putting up with me for what I am. And thank you for showing me the right way to go. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. And this is why I titled the message, my friends, Emulate the Love of God. Now, I know, you know, that's a tall order, if you want to call it. And sometimes, you know, folks, to be quite honest with you, I fail in that a lot. I don't demonstrate God's love a lot as I should. I'm hard, rough, tough, brutal, straightforward. But you know, I have run across many people who said that about me. But I sit back and I think about that. Okay, yeah, you know what, you may be right, but you know what? You think you're doing it in love, but if you were trying to let me know all this in love, what you should have done, just loved me for what I am. How many times have we failed to do that when dealing with others? We're quick to, hey man, you're hard. We're quick to say you're rough. We're quick to say, hey, you're tough. But we're quick, hey, you need to change. You need to quit acting like that. Look, I know we have good intentions, but all of us has forgotten the most important thing. Love that person like Jesus would have loved them. Look past all their imperfections. Look past all their faults. Look, I know sometimes we want to take the bat and whack them upside the head. I know at times we can get frustrated with our family members. We get agitated, we get mad, we get bent. But when sitting here preparing this message, and I've been thinking on this for quite a while, this wasn't just this week. We keep forgetting what real love is. So we need to start learning, okay, you know what? I'm not going to come to you and say, hey, man, you're hard. Hey, man, you're hard. You're brutal. You're rough. You're too hard with people. I should start saying, you know what, brother or sister? I love you. I love you, and Jesus loves you. That's what I should be doing. And by us demonstrating that agape love towards others, that would be changing us. And this is what I've been asking God lately. God, okay, God, help me get it right. Help me start keeping my mouth shut. Help me demonstrate that agape love to others, even though sometimes I may not feel like it. But I want to love them like Jesus loved them. And by us showing that love, what we need to do is step back and let God's love, let the Holy Spirit take care of those people. Yes, if they're hard. Yes, if they're rough. Yes, if they, you know, brutal at times. But you know what, folks? Just love them. Just love them for what they are. Several of us in here can relate to that. I got a brother in this room here tonight. When he first came into this chat room, y'all, I could have dished him off. I could have shunned him off. I'm not trying to say too much about his story, but he has told me about other places he went to. People kind of just gave him the cold shoulder. But what I end up trying to do, instead of trying to be hard and trying to enforce rules like so many other chat rooms do, I was trying to love him. And I tried displaying love to him. And in that process, it was changing me because I was hard. I was like a Pharisee. I could have said, you know, I ain't got time to waste time with this cat. And I'm not trying to brag on this, and I'm not trying to take no glory. Glory goes to God, all of it. But in that process, while I was being changed, he changed. And he drew closer to God because of that. So whenever we start looking at people's faults, we just need to say, you know what? I love you. I love you. So, you know, like I said, this sermon could have lasted from here to the cows come home about love. So I'm just going to hit on a few meanings of what love is from reading the Word of God. The first one, and sometimes we have to do it, but the first one's called tough love. Tough love. And we heard this meaning before, and yes, at times it would be tough when it has to be done. And we know many times, hey, it's not easy to demonstrate this type of love, but there are times that we must do so. Yes, God himself at times has to do the same with us. And when he does, we may not like it, but it's for our own good. And here's what the word says when he shows tough love in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. This is what it says. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. In other words, folks, the Lord disciplines those he loves. So when we think, why would God use tough love on us? And why is the reason for him doing so? Well, the answer is this. The Lord disciplines his children because he loves them and wants the best for them. He's looking out for their good. He is not doing this out of spite or being angry with us. He does this because he loves us and cares for us, and he knows what's best for us. So when he shows us tough love, and sometimes when he does show us tough love, we get into a little hissy fit. Not fair. That's, oh, come on. You picking on me? No. When he shows us tough love, folks, we should thank God for his discipline because he is omniscient. We can emulate God's love by displaying tough love when it's needed for a loved one, such as a family member, or when it's needed for friends. And it should be, now pay attention to this, it should be with the intention of helping them in the long run and not hurting them. And sadly, many Christians kind of actually abuse that section right there. Many Christians have used tough love in a wrong way. You should do it with true agape love, with the real intention of helping them in the long run and not hurting them. And tough love may be the refusal to give assistance to a friend asking for help. And when we do so, it would simply allow him or her to continue along a dangerous path. And sometimes it's needed to wake them up to the reality and for them to face the truth of what they may be facing when asking for such help. And what I'm trying to say right now, sometimes when you know they are walking down a very dangerous path and they're coming to you for help, but yet you show them sympathetic help, and some of us, we do that. Sometimes it's the wrong way to do it. We should show them and demonstrate tough love, because a lot of times, I've seen this myself, friends, that whenever I show them real love, I've shown them compassionate love, they didn't learn their lessons from that. So sometimes tough love is needed where you just need to step back and say, nope, nope, nope. Now, however, with tough love in a biblical sense, the chastening hand is always controlled by a loving heart. As the wise King Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24, look what it says. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. So if and when tough love is needed, use tough love the biblical way and not in the way of the flesh. Because if it's done in the flesh, folks, it can have disastrous results. It can have disastrous results. Another meaning of love is called tender love. Psalm 69:16 says this, "Hear me, O Lord, your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies." And folks, God's love is not only tough, but it's also tender. He cares, he understands, and is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Look at what Hebrews 4:15 says. It says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help him in time of need." God's love, his mercy, and his grace are extended to all people in all places at all times. Emulate God's tender love. Heed his words as instructed in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, which says, and I love it, it says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Now, if you're not willing to do none of these things, folks, forget about it. You're wasting your time. You're wasting God's time. You want to demonstrate real love? You need to be acting this way. Third, another meaning of love is called what I call trustworthy love. See, Jeremiah 31:3 says that the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, "Yes, I have loved you with everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Such a shame when today's society is sadly lacking when it comes to trustworthy love. And there are a lot of reasons why we put out, or let me rephrase that, I'm sorry. There are a lot of reasons why we put our trust in authorities. When we face problems with crimes, what do? We call the police. When we face problems with education, we have teachers. When we have problems with our relationship, we ask a trusted counselor. Divorce rates, my friends, is continually to rise, even among Christians. And these and many other situations simply show that we put our trust in man's love because we think of them as experts in what they do, rather than trusting in God. Why do we do this? Why do we trust man's view on love? Why do we trust in man's love? Well, to me, folks, one of the biggest reasons is, and I've seen this time and time and time again, the people of God take matters into their own hands because of a trust issue or some past events in your lives make it hard to trust an unseen God by faith. That's right. It's a trust issue. That's why we don't trust God's love. We don't trust it because we have to operate strictly by faith. And according to his words, that is what we're supposed to do. Why I say this? The fact remains, folks. The fact remains. Hebrews 11:1 says this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Other words, folks, we must trust that God would do what his word says he would do. And how we can know this for sure? How can we know this for sure? Well, according to the Bible again, God's word says in Hebrews 6:18 that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. You see? That's what I mean, folks, right there. See, look, I mean, we have to operate on faith. That's why the Hebrews 11:1 again is another one of my favorite verses. We have to trust in the things we don't see. And because of that, God's words is truth because he says he does not lie. It's impossible for God to lie. And we might have a strong consolation who has fled for refuge to lay a hold of the hope set before us. Again, the fact is, his words says that God does not lie. Because why? God is a God of truth. We need to trust this truth because God's love is trustworthy. He keeps his promise. All throughout scriptures it says so. So we should be steadfast and dependable, loving in deed and in truth. Another meaning of love is triumphant love. I mentioned this at the beginning of our message in our introduction. I hit on this in the passage in 1 Corinthians 13:8. And in the beginning of that passage, what it said? Love never fails. You get that, folks? Love never fails. You love others the right way, it'll never fail. It never fail. See, the fact remains, people, possessions, pleasures, and popularity, guess what? They all fail. But God's triumphant love never fails. Before we can even emulate God's triumphant love, we need to possess His love. We must totally commit ourselves to God to be filled with His love. God's triumphant love is, because the Bible says, again, God is love. And His love brings victory now and eternally. And His words are truth. And He Himself again says this. Three simple words. I love it. Love never fails. Love never fails. Repeat that, folks. Love never fails. And I mentioned it earlier. Yeah, man's view of love, it fails. People's relationship with each other in a human way, a non-godly way, yeah, it fails. Dogs and cats will love you for a while, but quit feeding them and see what happens. Sure, someone may be nice to you, but quit helping them out, you know, paying them money or giving them food or whatever, stuff like that, and then see how long they love you. That kind of love will fail. You know, I was reminded in the early craze, I forgot, I think it was in the 80s when the Urban Cowboy thing was going on. And what was the name of that song? Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. Well, no wonder that love was failing, because it was not finding love in the right place. Folks, God's love never, ever fails. Never. So in closing, societies and cultures throughout human history has their own ideas about what love is, how it ought to be expressed, or who deserves to receive it. The themes of love shown in our pop culture or mainstream entertainment are often shadowed of the breadth and depth of the love of our Father. In the end, God, my friends, in the end, God has the final word of what the definition of love is all about. And as I mentioned, those three words, love never fails. And to us, it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful description of God's definition of love. That's a wonderful, wonderful description. God tells us that if our actions are not motivated by love, and I'm talking about His love, they are worthless. Even if they appear to be worthwhile. Sometimes people love each other with the wrong intentions. It also states that love endures all things and that love never fails, both of which seem hard to achieve. And what I mean by that, folks, you try to love like that in the flesh, you're going to fail. The flesh does not know what real love is. It takes the Holy Spirit in us to show us what real love is. And the more that we emulate true agape love, the more it will change you. So because of this love, because of His love, I surrender myself to His love and to emulate the love of God for all to see. Because this is what Jesus is all about, And because of Jesus, His love will never fail. Man's love will fail. The world's love will fail. Their definition of love will fail. But the love of Jesus Christ will never fail. I place my hope in the love of God rather than my happiness on the often well-meaning but broken love and affections of people. I will trust in a love that existed long before the earth was even formed, a love that made the ultimate sacrifice for my renewal, a love that gave up glory and experienced our lacking in order to be near us. Whew. This kind of love will never fail. Will never fail. Because of this love, because of this love holds the final victory in Jesus Christ. This is the love I want others to see in me. Amen. Let's pray.